Bill with you, and it's gadget time. Yes, the gadget detective himself, Fevzi Turkalp, is about to move amongst us. You can always find him on Twitter, at Gadget Detective. How's it going, Fevzi?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Yes, let's start then with your tech story of the week. And I guess this has been occasioned by those strange balloons flying over America. Concern about the use of Chinese cameras in surveillance.
Yes, so Professor Fraser Sampson, who is the UK's camera commissioner. Did you know we had a camera commissioner?
I did not know we had a camera commissioner.
Unbelievably, he's very low profile. There's obviously not too many cameras on him. He has made the comment that he thinks that we should be at least as concerned about the use of Chinese cameras used by our police forces and elsewhere than things flying at 60,000 feet above us. I think we should be concerned about both of them. I don't think it's necessarily to say one is more important than the other, but it is quite interesting, and it comes back to this story that Chinese companies are required under Chinese law to cooperate with security services and government if called upon to do so. And the worry is that that may extend to allowing the devices that they've manufactured and that we've purchased and installed in this country and elsewhere to spy on us, either to spy on us or to be disabled at key points. So you can think if the Chinese have effectively built the UK's 5G network, and there is, let's say, heaven forbid, an armed conflict, or we start to embargo the Chinese for doing things in Taiwan, for example, we could find that our government becomes disabled because its communication is dependent upon these devices. And it also goes to the cameras. So the cameras, as I say, could be used to spy. The Americans found this years ago when they were first digitizing telephone networks in America. In the old days, when they wanted to tap a phone line, they literally had to send a person out to connect wires. And then they thought, well, we're putting in a new switchboard, effectively. Why don't we make it all digital with a back door so that we can effectively tap lines automatically? And they did that. And the first thing was that the Chinese and the Russians used it to spy on Americans. So you've got to be careful when you put things in place. It's like when the British government insists that technology companies provide a backdoor for encryption, you know, end-to-end encryption.
Oh, yeah.
They want to be able to read it. What they don't appreciate is, yes, that would be very useful, wouldn't it? But you're also giving every other security service in the world the ability to hack our encryption. Because once you provide a backdoor, it's there for everybody.
Oh, I see. Yes, yes.
So you can't, yeah.
In other words,
you can't weaken a lock and then complain when other people get into it. You know, it's kind of difficult. So this is interesting. There was a survey put out. The Office of the Biometrics and Surveillance Camera Commissioner asked 42.
Is that same person again, or another one we've never heard
of? Yeah, this is his office.
Oh, I see. It's quite a mouthful, isn't it?
Yeah, it is remarkable. Well, at least he's not a czar, I suppose. We can be grateful for that. He wrote to 43 police forces in England and Wales, also the MOD, the British Transport Police, the National Crime Agency, and the Civil Nuclear Constabulary. I love these names. So that's 48 bodies that they wrote to. A quarter of them didn't bother to reply. They were being asked what Chinese equipment they used, whether they used Chinese cameras. But of those that did reply, almost all of them responded that they used Chinese cameras for external equipment, internal equipment, and also automatic number plate recognition systems. So that's where, when you drive around, it tracks your number plate and works out who you are, and often used to find you. But that sort of information could easily, these things are internet connected, that sort of thing could easily be sent abroad, and you could track the whereabouts of ministers, for example.
So suppose we decided to bite the bullet then and do away with all this and have homegrown or grown in a friendly country equivalent. Is that even remotely doable now?
Yeah.
Can you go back?
For cameras, it is not so much homegrown, but you can, you know, you can get Japanese, Korean, and South Korean, and so forth. You can do it, but you're right. I mean, if it comes to, let's say, 5G, one of the real problems is that the West, there's only, I think, one or two companies in the West that produce key bits of 5G equipment. So when the British were pushed by the Americans into banning Huawei from our 5G network development, that set us back about 18 months to 2 years, and our 5G network is not going to be as good as it would have been. Now, I'm not saying we should have used the Chinese equipment in there. There's clearly a risk in doing that. But I'm saying that this is, you know, more than a generation of underinvestment in these technology companies and allowing our key technology companies to be sold. Some of our best tech companies were AI companies, which now belong to American and other foreign companies. They got bought. And that's, you know, just as there's a discussion about whether you should have nuclear power stations built by foreign companies and this discussion, this should also be the discussion about encouraging companies and funding companies and seeding funding for companies to do this sort of bleeding edge scientific research, but also to stop them from being sold.
I suppose part of the problem is democracy. Democracy is, as you know, a wise person once said, is the least worst system we've come up with so far. And when governments want to get elected, they promise things and then sometimes go on to do things that are obvious and will get votes. And I'm thinking if he went back a few years and said all this, people would have just blanked. They wouldn't have listened. And therefore, perhaps that's partly why we've let it get to this, in your view, perilous state, do you think?
Well, I just think we've left ourselves wide open. And as for democracy, you know, if a politician stands on the platform of doing away with Chinese technology, then that will play very well to a large proportion.
It might now, yes, it might by now. Now that the reality is starting to hit us, perhaps, yes.
Yeah, and also the other problem, the other concern about Chinese companies is the human rights records of the companies involved, because a lot of them are providing security technology to the what term should I use, the camps in which the Uyghur Muslims are kept. There's thought to be about 1 million Uyghur Muslims in China. These are people that are being re-educated out of their Muslim culture. And held in camps.
Which we never heard a thing at all about until just recently, did we? It's been going on for a long, long time.
It's been going on for a long time, and China is such a powerful country. Yeah. A weaker country would have been dealt with by now on this. And I also think that had these people been of another faith, of another major faith, probably we'd have heard more about well.
Yeah. I'm supposed to say at this point that the Chinese authorities are not here to make their case, but perhaps we don't have to bother with that. Organisation,
I don't know. I would reply that they may be here to make their case. You just might not know it.
Stop it now. You're frightening me. Fevzi Türkalp is here telling us what's happening in the world of technology. On to his gadgets of the week now, starting with something which I hardly understand the description of, let alone what it can actually do. It's a hover bar tower. I've never had I don't think I've had a hover bar tower. Have I? Well, maybe I have, Fevzi.
You'd know if you had, yeah.
So let's take baby steps here, then off you go.
Right, so this feature sort of goes back to some thinking that I was doing about how much we spend on some of our technology, things like laptops and expensive tablets and all the rest of it. And we do, and they're great, but we think a lot about the specs and, you know, the size of the screen and the speed of the processor, but not how we're going to use it and how we can optimally use it to get the best out of whatever technology we have. And I argue that it's worth putting aside maybe up to 10% of the budget that you've got for that piece of technology on some things like stands and devices that help you use it better.
Yeah.
Because you will get... I'll give you a good example of that. You know now that contributors on TV often have to do it, you know, obviously by video, and they do it from a laptop, and you get an angle from the camera's laptop up your nose.
Yeah.
Very unflattering angle, you know, poor lighting, the whole thing, you know, it just looks terrible. If that person had spent, you know, £100 on a proper stand for it, and, you know, in the future, maybe even some lighting, you just get so much better contribution from that person. So, I mean, I believe in that. I mean, look, you and I are talking over an ISDN line. I'm tempting fate when I say this, but it's rock solid and I don't think it's ever failed us.
It has once, actually.
Did it fail us once?
Yeah, we had a
that
terrible...
That would be the Chinese then, yeah.
Yes, that's the... What are they like, honestly? But no, generally speaking, you know, it is the bane of the modern day radio presenter that lines drop out and long delays and all. Oh, it makes it so much harder to get a nice interview going.
There are things that we can do. So this is about stands. So the 12 South is the brand Hoverbar Tower. It's the tower version of the Hoverbar stand. This is a tablet stand for iPads. They market it for iPads, but in fact, any tablet can be used. It will fit any size of iPad, and most of the cases that iPads come in as well. And it's a floor-standing tower, so you can use it in front of a... it's basically for use of your tablet at a time when you don't really want to be holding it or can't be holding it. So if you're on an exercise bike, a treadmill, a rowing machine, if you're a musician, you know, there's lots of apps now that turn music pages for you and all the rest of it. You know, you could have it for anything like that. Some people use it to watch the tablet in bed. I don't like that because I'd need one on each side.
You'd need one on each side?
Well, because when I turn over, I still want to be able to see this.
A thin neck.
You know, and preferably one on the ceiling as well. But
that's an image I can't get out of my head now. Well, thanks for that. Yeah.
Don't worry, it's a Saturday afternoon, we're fine. So all of these things, so, you know, your Peloton bike, your exercise bike, the whole thing, Apple Fitness, all of those things can be done with a stand like this. So this stand adjusts the tablet screen height from about anywhere between about 3 feet to over 5 feet off the ground. So you can do it whilst you're doing, you know, your yoga and your exercises and so forth. And it's really great. Or just for, you know, entertainment whilst you're doing your exercises, because a lot of exercise bikes and so forth, they don't have a suitable place to clip a tablet onto. You know, the tablets can be quite bulky. So this is called the 12 South Hoverbar Tower. It's the full height version. I've given it 4-star rating. It would have been a 4.5-star rating if the price was under £100. So the list price for this is £129.99. I saw it today on a well-known website for just under £117. It's very good because 12 South... what you're paying for is the quality of the design and the quality of the build. So it's not going to fall over, not going to break your tablet. It's of a good quality. So, and I think, you know, if you've paid a fair amount for your tablet, you want something where it's going to be safe and solid. And you know, this does that job. So right. four stars rating out of 5. Next, again from 12 South, is something called the Curve Flex. Now, this is marketed as a laptop stand. It's kind of a riser. Imagine something that's vaguely Z-shaped. So you put it on there. It's nice because every surface that can come into contact with your tablet or with your laptop is covered in silicone, not just the main touch points as you get with some of the other brands. And it's got this Z shape, so it can rise to you know, a range of heights, but you can also tilt it. And this is comes back to what I was saying to you about the webcam.
Television up your nose, yes.
Yeah, right. You can get it at perfect at eye level, and it works really well. It's not just the height, you can also tilt it. So that works really well. And also just ergonomically, you know, there's a lot of computers now are using tablets and laptops as second screens. And again, this helps you elevate the screen to the right height. So if you're using a Mac, for example, you can use a second device as a screen and it elevates it to the height that you want. It's got a carry case. I didn't really like the carry case. It looks a bit weird to me, but they don't charge you extra for it. This price is a shade under 80. I saw it for a shade under £58 today, which I think is good value, and therefore 4.5 stars out of 5.
Which is very rare. He never gives a 5, so 4.5 is a huge recommendation. Do I understand you wish to mention something else before we say farewell?
No, I just wanted to say, you know, you're always so kind to me. At the beginning of our slots, you always say about the podcast and Twitter and everything. And I was just thinking, you know, you invite them to subscribe to my podcast, and people should. It's the, you know, it's a Gadget Detective podcast. But I just thought,
careful.
Well, look, if during the slot I've annoyed you, then you might regret having signed up to the podcast. But also, if at the end of it I haven't annoyed you, then you might have a reason to do so. So it's a Gadget Detective podcast. If you're up for that, please subscribe.
Oh, right.
If you've got a tech question, you can find me on Twitter at Gadget Detective.
Oh, right, just what the things that we normally do. Just yeah, doing them slightly differently.
I just thought doing it at the end instead of the beginning might actually give people a reason to do it.
Well, if that's where you like it, we'll leave it there for the future. And I will talk to you in 2 weeks. I'm off next week, but I expect you'll be on with one of my colleagues. So have a good time then. I'll speak to you in 14.